We're also beginning to receive letters and calls about the news programmes on Radio 3, not because of any disappearance, but because of this.
5 o'clock. Now the world news from the BBC at Bush House. It's read by Pamela Crichton.
Trucks carrying relief supplies for the thousands of Palestinians in a refugee camp near Beirut have been held up by Amal militiamen. In the continuing political crisis in the Indian state of Punjab, the chief minister has been excommunicated by Sikh high priests. The Chinese authorities have said foreign journalists are still welcome in the country.
I wonder if that sounded any different to you from the usual news headlines. It's part of a 6-month experiment which Radio 3 began this week, taking 1 10-minute World Service news bulletin on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and 2 each weekday. The man now in charge of the World Service is John Tusser, former presenter of Newsnight on BBC Two, and he's recently been talking about the possibility of making the World Service much more widely available in this country, not only via news bulletins on Radio 3, but as the basis of a fifth radio network. He's also hoping to launch a television version of the World Service News, so I went down to Bush House to talk to him about all these ideas, taking with me a sheaf of your letters on the subject. I started by telling him about some of the phone calls you've made regarding the World Service News on Radio 3. One caller complained, "This news interferes with the music. Us listeners turn to Radio 3 to get away from the news." Another said, "I like to relax on a Sunday morning and enjoy the music, not listen to news about places I've never heard of, nor want to." And I read a letter from Maurice Rowe of Weybridge saying, amongst other things, "I'm writing to express my dismay and strong objection to the dismantling of Radio 3 as a music channel. The latest edition of World Service News bulletins is, I think, the last straw." I asked John Tusser how he reacted to all these comments.
Well, the first thing is that these bulletins were put on Radio 3 at the suggestion of the controller, Radio 3, and naturally we were very happy to oblige, because we've always wanted to make World Service News bulletins more available to listeners in Britain. The second thing is that I don't quite see that the extension of one news bulletin a day at the weekends from 5 to 10 minutes constitutes a dismantling of the essentially musical nature of Radio 3, nor indeed the extension of 2 news bulletins on weekdays from 5 to 10 minutes. I wouldn't have thought that that was very much of an intrusion. I would hope that in due course we will get the telephone calls from those who welcome the greater audibility of the news bulletin, and I hope that the sample will balance itself out. But as a devoted Radio 3 listener myself, I can imagine that if that is all that people want from the network, then they might not welcome this particular addition to its range. But I think it's always been felt that Radio 3 listeners would like to have a rather broader, more global view of the world presented to them. And I'm sorry that these particular listeners don't want that.
It is, of course, early days. Yes, we may, I think, get many more reactions. Is it seen, in some respects, the Radio 3 experiment, as being a tryout for your other proposal, which is a fifth network in radio in Britain, which would use even more World Service material?
I think it's a very important first step. After all, we've all been talking about making the World Service more accessible to UK listeners. In the 1970s, there was a really very substantial eavesdropping and overspill audience to people who could get World Service from the old transmitter in Crowborough. And the number of people who complained about having World Service taken away from them was very, very substantial. I've always wanted to get it back, and I see this as a first step to re-establishing the World Service in its placed on the domestic radio, because after all, the whole thing, we're all paid for out of taxpayers' money, and not only do we know that a lot of people want to hear the World Service, but I think they have a right to hear the World Service as well.
You'll be glad to hear that the letters we've had about that subject have so far been far more enthusiastic than those about Radio 3's use. Mrs. June Marsh of Blackpool says, "It is bizarre that the most widely respected broadcasters of features reflecting attitudes and interests of all nations fail to reach their own indigenous population. The xenophobic insularity of the British is encouraged by domestic radio, so largely given over to Anglo-centric trivia," she says. And Andrew Swaby of Hazelmere, similarly, says, "I've been listening to World Service in the small hours for many years. This could be," and he's talking about the idea of the fifth channel, "this could be a major step towards a world consciousness and help to break out of the blinkered obsession with problems on the home front." That, presumably, is part of precisely the idea of the fifth channel.
Yes, let me make it perfectly clear what the status or the non-status of the fifth channel is, and it is not in any case in my gift. It is certainly in the gift of perhaps the next Director General and the Chairman and the Board of Governors, because it would involve, I think, quite a substantial change of strategic direction for the BBC. But supposing that there are some spare frequencies available, then it would be very easy and not at all expensive to put the World Service onto that and to include the parliamentary opt-outs, say the cricket, some of the education. So the World Service would be a sustaining network. Now, what this would give you, this first of all is to give you mainly a 24-hour news service around the clock. And it would make available to those quite significant numbers who want it this particular approach to the world. Now, let me make it perfectly clear. I wouldn't want to take only the World Service myself as the network through which I saw the world. I use Radios 3 and 4 myself. I do not see it as a replacement for Radio 4. That, I think, would be wholly foolish. I switch both to the Radio 4 news bulletins for the British and the domestic picture, and then to the World Service for the international picture. I see the whole thing as complementary and fitting together.
Finally, thirdly, there is the question of a World Service television programme, for which you've now made a pilot for news service. What can you tell us about that?
That what it tries to do, certainly for the first time, is to match Bush House journalistic values, news values, with all the tremendous expertise and technical knowledge and international know-how of BBC television news journalism. And I think together this represents a potential journalistic force which nobody else can actually put together. And what you'd have, and what we've done in the pilot, is a 30-minute news programme where the perspective is a global perspective. You might have many, many editions where there wasn't a single British story in it whatsoever. We are asking at the moment for Foreign Office money for it because we think that it's analogous to the World Service in radio, and that for relatively few million pounds, £5 to £6 million, we could establish Britain's voice in all sorts of parts of the world in the increasing area of television viewing. You know, more and more people are going to be turning over to television as the years go by, and I think that internationally we simply can't overlook it.
And is there any prospect of the British audience being able to see that television service as well?
Oh, I think that the intention would be that it would be seen on domestic television, and it would also certainly be seen on the new Super Channel, which is going out all over Europe.
John Tusa, Managing Director of the BBC's External Services.